Hey guys, what's going on? It's Rachel Kayleen, and we're back on the Millennial Wave. And today I have three people in the studio with me. I have the founders of All World Ball Academy out here in Sacramento, California. We have Dante, Kevin, and Dre. Say what's up, guys.
What's up?
Thanks for coming on. I'm super happy to have you guys here. So the fact that we have three people here, I want to take the time to let each of them kind of tell you their story, maybe like a quick 30 second to a minute. How you guys got involved with what you're doing now, kind of your background in basketball, what you did, and then what made you guys want to come together to build this. So Dante, you can go ahead and start.
Okay. I'm Dante Miller from Fairfield, California. Grew up in a basketball family. My dad was a coach, and then just went down the line with my older sister, my older brother, and then my little sister. All we knew was basketball, competitive. You always wanted to be the best. So we definitely did that a lot. Played college at multiple different colleges. I took the JC route, went to Solano, then transferred to Delta College, and then got a scholarship at Menlo, and then ended up transferring and going to school in San Diego at St. Catherine's College.
Wow.
From there, I ended up leaving early because I got an opportunity to go play pro in Germany, which was a humble experience. It was different. You got to see and how political it can be. You know, they talk about players don't get paid and how you got to really be a business person. And, you know, it is kind of stressful, but you kind of learn how to adapt to that. You know, you got to treat it like a business. And I think that's what kind of helped translate me to be a basketball trainer. So I've been training for almost 10 years, Fairfield, San Diego, and then out here in Sacramento where I branched off and met Dre, which was a good thing. Before there, I worked at Rock Ball, which had a good opportunity to open doors for me to meet Dre. And from then, it just clicked. So we've been working together for almost, I want to say, six months now.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we got All World Ball Academy, because we wanted to take a team that did everything and put it together with different personalities. I feel like it's going to be a huge success.
Awesome. Super exciting. All right, Kevin, let's go.
Kevin Bridgeforth, like I said, from Virginia Beach, Virginia / Fairfield, California. Spent most of my time in probably those two places. Went to high school in Fairfield, played ball there. Ended up going to Solano as well. Different times, of course. And then life took me back to the East Coast. Ended up finishing school at Virginia Wesleyan College. Actually didn't play my senior year. Actually started coaching my senior year. Decided that the playing side was kind of over for me. Just didn't really have that same passion for playing as I did for giving other players information or just anything that I was able to gain over the years of playing. And it's like, well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well coach. So coached my senior year. And then life brought me back to California where we ended up getting back in. Me and Dante actually played against each other in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like a rivalry turned friendship, you know.
That's
what I'm saying?
Awesome.
Over maybe 10 years of friendship now. But again, getting back in touch with Dante, then I met Dre, then we all started, like you said, collaborating and just seeing like our different styles of training, they actually complement each other. So it's like, what better way to give these kids everything that we can than, like you said, three different styles of training, three different styles of explaining things, all of that. So, but yeah, like you said, now we're here. We're just trying to build on what we have right now. Going on our first year, all being together in the same building, just like I said, giving everything to these kids.
So. That's awesome. Great. All right, Dre.
Dre.
There you go.
Originally from Omaha, Nebraska. High school All-American, college All-American. I played at the University of Iowa. And then I went overseas. I played 13 years overseas in Turkey, France, Greece, Italy, Germany, to name a few. I made my way out here. I would come out here and train with the pros in the summer. A good friend of mine invited me out here, and I just ended up staying. We would work out in the summertime with Bobby Jackson and a good player out of SAC named Isaac Fontaine. Chris Webber would show up, just, you know, the Kings players of that era and guys that played overseas. And so I would just come out here every summer and work out. And eventually I just ended up staying. So after my career, like I said, I played 13 years overseas. It was just a natural progression. I kind of didn't want to coach because you have to kind of start over as far as high school or whatever. You got to work your way through. And I respect it, but I just wanted to do my own thing, so I started training. And I would always see this guy doing crazy drills on Instagram. So I reached out to Dante. I was like,
you know. Oh, it was Dante. Okay, gotcha.
And so, but he was, you know, he was busy at the moment. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and he doubled back. And I said, hey, man, we should work together. And, you know, we just want to make the kids better with our basketball experience. And, you know, part of our world is me traveling all over the world. They're playing in different parts of the world. And we just want to teach life skills through rigorous basketball training.
Gotcha. So you guys all are part of All World Ball. You guys are all trainers. You guys have all different types of personalities. You all represent something different. You all have a different story. So with All World Ball, what do you think makes you guys different from all the other guys that played basketball as well, that are no longer playing, you know, they're not in the league or whatever the case may be, that are training, or like, you know, they have their own businesses or their own organizations? What do you think makes you guys stand out about the three of you and what you guys have going on that you feel like you can really make a significant impact in these kids?
I would say passion. I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of people, like you said, when it comes to training, it's so oversaturated. You know, everybody's a trainer, right? So everybody's doing this, everybody's doing that. But I feel like the true passion, like when I step into the gym, notice I don't say work. When I step into the gym, I give everything. You know, that's like something where it became my escape. It became my love. It became everything. And at the end of the day, it kind of saved my life. So I feel like I give everything to these kids. And, you know, you have to, like every basketball player creates something in their mind when they play the game. And when you step on the court, you got to almost step into a classroom. You have three steps. You learn your material. You understand what's taking place. And then you create it. So then when it clicks, then you start to have fun. You ever seen those students in the classroom, every answer, they're like, me. You got to be that basketball player. And, yeah. And I feel like they're dominating the classroom the same way you got to dominate the court. So I feel like I think that's what we kind of offer is three different personalities with the same passion. And I feel like that's how me and Dre really got started, because at first it was Miller Vision training, but then it was like, it's bigger, right? When you add academy to something, that means you're adding something different. You're adding stages. You're in a classroom setting. You want to offer different levels. You can't just go in there and go, oh, I'm going to do all these different moves. Mm-hmm. When basketball is simple.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I think that's what we kind of offer to them, is really teaching the kids, really breaking down the fundamentals. Or stuff that's super boring, but why skip the boring stuff when you need it?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's something that we can offer to the kids as well.
Of course. So also, I'm curious, so with All World Ball, what type of things do you offer? Like when you're saying you bring them into an academy, what does that academy consist of? Is it like one-on-one? Is it a team? You guys said you guys are involved in AAU. Like what's going on? Like what does all of that consist of?
It's a rotating curriculum. Of course, it's one-on-one training, or we do teams, or we do small groups. And like I said, you know, we have the ability to read a kid and understand how to get the best out of them. You know, what's going to, one little mind game with them, not a mind game, but just a trigger, something to push them to bring that player out of them. And, you know, once they get it and it clicks, it translates. Just the whole thing, you know, in different ranks, you have all city, you have all state, you have all American, but like we said, we're all world, because we're bringing different teachings from Germany, from the countries I played in, from the East Coast, and it's just one big combo of teaching basketball, and like you said, we have to bring it out of the kids. So that's our main thing. It still goes back to the passion, the love of the game. For me, I want every kid to be better than me. If I can get them to be better than me, and you know, I thought I was pretty damn good, you know, that's the goal.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so question. I'm assuming you guys have kids from all different walks of life come to your academy, and they train, and they want to get better. Everyone has a different goal, you know, or maybe they all have the same goal, you know, whatever. You guys probably see consistent answers in some of them, like going to the league or whatever the case may be, right? So what do you think? I'm curious, because when I look at any type of industry, doesn't matter which one it is, doesn't matter what sport it is, I feel like the principles are always the same for success. You got to have the mindset, you got to have the consistency, you got to have the discipline. What do you think, out of most of the kids that you train, is the number one thing that holds them back from actually reaching their potential? Because I'm sure you see the potential. You can see the potential in almost all the kids. But what's the number one thing that you think holds them back? Is it family life? Is it mindset? Is it grades? Is it, like, what do you think is the number one thing?
I think it's hard to pick one. Yeah, you might get three different answers right here. Like I said, number one is tough, but I know two of the top ones that I see often are a lack of real confidence. And by real confidence, I mean not just the look. A lot of kids prefer the look over substance, meaning I'm going to walk in the gym, I'm going to talk a certain game, but then once adversity hits, am I going to back up? Am I going to, you know, kind of hide from it? Or am I going to back up what I'm saying? Is there substance behind it? And that kind of ends up feeding into that confidence. You know, it's like, okay, look, I've been in this situation before. I can perform like I've been here 100 times already because I, you know, put the work in, all that kind of stuff. I've built my confidence. As to where, like I said, there's other kids where they just lack that true confidence. It's just like almost a bluff. And then when their card's pulled, it's like, I have nothing left. I don't know what to do now. I'm just going to kind of, like I said, hide or just kind of fall back a little bit. And then we have other kids who may lack that discipline and that attention to detail. Those are the two biggest to me, confidence and attention to detail. I feel like a lot of kids look over the small stuff. If it's holding your follow through or bending your knees, like stuff like that, it's overlooked so much. And it's almost like, well, if I can figure out an easier way to do it, then I'll just do that. Forget the details. Forget, like Dante was saying, the boring stuff. A lot of kids don't want to do that stuff now. So again, trying to pick one is tough. You might get a whole list from me, honestly, mm-hmm. but I know they have a different point of view as far as stuff that the kids are missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, mentality.
Mentality?
Yeah. A lot of these kids and parents won't let their kids fail. And I feel like once they learn how to fail, then they'll learn how to succeed. Mm-hmm. Right? But they won't get there. What if I miss this shot? Or what if you make it? Yeah. Or what if my number's called to shoot that last shot? Oh, no, I'm going to pass that joint. So you get that mentality, and I feel like I think a lot of these kids have so much special abilities, but they don't want to fail. They don't want to let down their team. They don't want to let down their parents. And when I say let down their parents, because their parents have so much of a high expectation for them that they don't even have it.
Yeah.
So that causes them to not want to do it or pull away from it. But just mentality. I feel like you have to be a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like once you're hungry enough, you'll see it. That's what I said. We have a whole bunch of different kids, and you'll see it. The ones that are less privileged from certain ones that are privileged, you see the hunger. They do it for a different reason versus the ones that do it like, oh, I'm going to do it. But these ones, they're trying to get out.
Yeah.
It's everything for them.
Yeah.
And it shows on the court. It shows by the way they work. Like, I'm trying to get in this gym. Can I get in the gym? Can I go run with you? What can I do? And I tell people, it's like, if you call us, we'll be there. Like, we'll work with you. We don't want to make sure our prices is what holds you back. It's what the kid really wants.
Yeah.
We really die for the kid. We really would go in and take all our time. I mean, sacrifices. I'll take that. Take that back. But sacrifice. We'll make huge sacrifices to make sure that kid gets what they want to.
Love it. And you?
Well, they pretty much set it up. My thing is not just skill set, but mindset. What he touched on, I believe there's a confidence and then there's a superior confidence where it's like a blind faith, like, I'm going to do this, okay? And, you know, a lot of times you have to go through adversity to get there, you know, before you get that blessing. You're going to go through some stuff, and people don't see that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, overnight success. Overnight success takes 10 years sometimes, you know? And, you know, we got so many examples, but in this microwave world, I call it a microwave world because if I can Google something and get the answer, people think that's how success is.
Yeah.
It's just like this. One kid makes it off of YouTube doing something, and now everybody thinks that's the way to do it and don't want to put in the work. But if you have that confidence and you want to put in the work, then we can help you get there. I know what it takes. I, you know, like I said, I played at a full ride scholarship. I played overseas. You know, I've been through situations where you get overseas and teams don't have all your money. Do you quit basketball? Do you keep playing? Do you go to the next team? You know, what do you do? I've been cut by 10 NBA teams. Wow. I played a little bit for the Denver Nuggets. So it's like you have to have mental toughness. It's all mental. This game is mental. But you got to have the confidence and know that one day I'm going to be that player. It's always going to add to your game.
Yeah.
You know, I was at the end of my career still trying to get better because I know I could add something, my left hand floater or something. So, but I think with the kids, it's the confidence. You got to have the confidence. You got to be mentally tough. You got to have bounce back. You got to have resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have that, because you're going to get knocked down in this game. And then you got to love the dirty stuff about the game. You got to love playing defense. You're going to get bowled in the mouth. You're going to feel like your nose has been broken. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people get elbowed and then it's over. I'm done. This is too much. No. Wipe the blood up and you plug it. You know, they'll plug your nose up and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids slip and fall. You just got to have resilience. So you got to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Okay, so that kind of brings me to my next question. You talking a little bit about the NBA, and also, you said that when you went overseas, you saw that it was more of a business. Like it's a sport, right? But at the end of the day, it's a business. So what do you think, like, give me some examples of, I'm not going to ask you, oh, what do you hate about basketball, but what are some of the misconceptions that people don't really know about when they take it to the next level? Like, people looking from the outside in or kids that really want to make it to the NBA, like, what are some misconceptions that people don't understand until they actually get in it? Like, you won't know until you're there. Does that make sense?
Oof.
Nobody's really your friend.
Where are we starting?
No one's your friend. Okay. Nobody's your friend. No
one's your friend. Dre, you want to take this one?
Do you think?
Nah. Misconceptions. Just because you're on a team, you're going to play.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest ones for these kids now. Not understanding, like, everything is earned from your playing time to just getting that jersey, period. Just as small as, like, learning. If you're playing for a school, 15 players on a team, how many kids go to that school? You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing's given. Everything's earned. That's really one of those things that is kind of recent right now in life. I'm coaching a group of kids right now, and that's one of the things that I have to keep echoing to them is understanding, look, playing time, stuff like that, opportunities, they're not given to you. You earn them if it's in practice, if it's before and after practice, if it's during the games. But yeah, that playing time, just because you're on a team doesn't mean anything's given to you.
And you said it's earned. Like, do you really think, like, a lot of people talk about politics mm-hmm. in basketball.
Yes.
Do you think it's more about the politics and who you're talking to? Or do you think it's really about, like, how hard you're working? Of course, you got to have the talent. You got to have the skill set. You got to work hard. You got to earn it. But is it also about being close with the people that
make those decisions?
Yes.
I think that has a lot to do with it. If it's your coach, if we're talking like higher ups, your GMs, whatever, I think it has a little bit to do with that for sure. But then again, I think it's like kind of 50-50. It's like you're going to go with your horses that got you to the race. But at the same time, you do reward the hustling. You do reward the players who've been putting in the work and grinding, da 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 da. When that opportunity comes, and that goes back to what we've been talking about the whole time, putting that work in, being prepared for when your number is called, for when you're, you know, so, but yeah, I think there's a ton of politics going on right now, but I don't want to speak too much on that. I'll let them get on that part.
All right.
To bounce off what he said, he has an AAU team. I work on the circuit with Adidas, with Team Love. It's politics. Like you said, that man, the top man will say, hey, he needs to play, and you're like, damn it. Like, you have to put him in if you want the job, but you also got to show him, too, like, there's other people on this. Because when you're on that league circuit, it's way different. Like,
so, tell me a little bit about that.
So, you know, you have regular AAU, you have, like, in the middle, and then you have these elite players.
And what is that? Like,
so, like,
give me the different levels.
All the different shoe brands.
Okay.
So, you have Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. Those are probably the main big ones. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, if you're on those teams, coaches are watching you. Like, they're at the games. Now it's different because of what they're trying to do as far as get more coaches to go to camps versus the AAU because of all the different politics with the money and who's getting paid. And like you said, there's barely any coaches at high school games anymore. So man, they're trying to get back to that, but they're trying to see how can I slow that down. But it's just a level. I mean, now they're trying to do USA basketball camps because if they can bring the best talent into one gym, you have everybody there.
Yeah.
So it's easy, you know, now.
It's easier for the players?
It's easy for both, the players and the coaches. Okay. If I know that there's going to be a camp here in Florida and I'm going to have all the top players there, I'm going to go there, right? But everybody's so caught up on D1.
Yeah.
That there's so many different colleges, so many different levels that happen that they just miss the point of just, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to go to college because if I don't go D1, my whole career is done. I didn't go to D1. He didn't go to D1. He did. So, see the chances? I mean, it could be, what, 1 out of 14, 1 out of 20. It just all depends on who's at that top level as far as basketball. I'm not saying education-wise, but just basketball. But it's all political. It's you just never going to know who's going to show up. You might play a whole AAU season and not one coach show up, but you're on this elite group. So it's so many misconceptions about what's taking place on the circuit, but the competition level, it shows. It hits your heart. Because if you're not ready to play every single game, oh, you're getting smacked by 30. Not 10, by 30. Yeah. So it's a whole nother level. But, you know, just touch up like nobody's your friend. When you're playing overseas, it's like you have your boys next to you, but you wake up, your boy's packing on his way home.
Wow.
If you're not doing your job. But it's competitive. It's a hard-nosed type of job that you got to do.
Well, you mentioned, though, like, when you played overseas, don't you get contracts? Like, you're saying that someone could be, someone could be, like, packing their bag.
That contract ain't what the paper's written on.
Yeah. No?
Is this, so, let's be clear. This is a business from about the seventh grade.
Just think
about it. Think about it.
Very true.
Let's keep it real simple. You want some college, some guy at some college to say, you're good enough. I'm going to give you $30,000 to $45,000 a year. That's what a scholarship is, right? Mm-hmm. It's how much it's worth these days, right?
Yeah.
So there it is, right there. I'm going to disguise it because I'm going to give you a great education and give you a jump start on life. Yeah. And you get to play on TV, which is wonderful. I'm not against it. But it's about $30,000 to $45,000 a year. So that's what you're doing in the eighth grade. You're trying to get a scholarship, right? And then along with that, if you get to the elite teams, okay, now we're... Once you go, you know, I'm going to give you a shoe deal. We discuss that later. Okay, now you're overseas. So now you sign overseas. I've been in a situation where I signed for, whatever, $150,000, right? The team only really had $80,000. So now you're playing a couple months, a few months. Check's going to be a little late. What? I got a contract.
Really?
What? No, this is not like the NBA. And this would change. This would change if this was how the NBA was. People would perform. You have three bad games overseas, you might be packing, especially as an American, because you're, you know, we can replace you. Most of the time, there's only two to three Americans on each team. And, you know, they want the best players that's left that didn't make the NBA. So, therefore, hey, man, okay. You're supposed to be a 20-point guy, and you got 12 and 9 and then 15. You might want to get 30 the next game because I've seen it. Overseas is here today, gone tomorrow. A few countries guarantee, you know, that contract, but for the most part, you're replaceable. So you got to put it down. You got to come and go to work every single day, you know. But even if you just want to scholarship, for me, every kid I train, I want to go to school for free.
Mm-hmm.
If you play overseas or you make it to the NBA or you make it to the G League, that's just gravy on top of everything, you know? But I want you to get an education and get a jump start on life. You know, you're going to travel the world with this team, with your college team, you're going to travel. And this is basketball is a tool to take you there. You know, basketball is taking me around the world. I'm thankful to be blessed with the talent. And at the same time, you know, it's a lot of politics in it. But I'm a firm believer, if you master your craft, people can find you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're doing, if you're the best, either hire the man upstairs or somebody's going to open that door for you. So, you know, let's go. You know, they find singers in Iowa. They Michael Jackson, Gary, Indiana. You know, they're if you are that dude or that woman, they'll come. They'll find you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find you. But yeah, it's a lot of politics in the game.
Yeah. So obviously we can see that there's a lot of things going on within the whole sport, right? So what are some of the things that you guys really try to focus in on when you're teaching these kids? Like when you're trying to prepare them for college, and then let's say they go beyond college and they go to a G League, or they go overseas, or they go, you know, what are some things that you guys really try to instill in these kids that will help them long term for life after basketball as well?
Details. I feel like the small details you do, like Kev says, follow through, bend your knees. In life, it'll take it there. If you just do the details that needs to be prepared for a game, or prepare in a classroom, or prepare for a job. You know, I tell people, some of my kids, it's like when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do?
Hopefully make your bed.
Yeah, right. But right there, that could be hard for everybody.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's like, well, I'm about to get into it later on. But when you make your bed, that's the first task that you complete of the day. So after that, you just continue to complete tasks until you get back home. So I feel like paying attention to details, everything, because we just miss. You miss one small thing, you can miss a shot. So I feel like details would be good for me.
Perseverance. Keep going. That's it. Twist the ankle, ice, let it heal, come back. Fight through it. Okay, that coach sucked. He didn't like you. Whatever happened, he didn't give you your minutes. Keep going. Might need a new team. Keep going. They said you can't shoot. All right, well, how come you're not shooting 300, 400, 500 shots a day? Keep going. Get better. Just keep pushing. Just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Preparation is like one of my biggest things. Like, I live off of preparation. Like he was saying, getting prepared for if it's a game, if it's school, if it's a job. Preparation. Just prepare yourself. Like he said, if you're the best, they're going to find you, meaning your number's going to get called at some point. If I'm prepared, when it gets called, oh, I made this shot a million times. Oh, I made this play a million times. We ran this play. Whatever it is, being prepared. If I'm going into a big game, who's the other team's best player? What kind of plays do they run? If I'm going into an interview, what does this business do? What do I bring to the table that somebody that's applying for the same position wouldn't? Let me get that stuff ready now before I go in for that interview. Again, yeah, it's just about being prepared for any opportunity that's coming. So,
the 6 P's. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Mm, holy shizzle.
I know we're going to go there. I was going to hit it with the 3 C's. I want to do the 3 C's.
Three C's.
You know what I'm saying? Courage, confidence, and consistency.
Love it.
You got to have the courage to take the shot. You got to have the confidence to make the shot and the consistency to do it over and over again. I know we were trying to hit them with the three P's and all that. All right, but yeah, go.
I love it. All right. Well, I don't want to cut this early, but I know you have to go soon, Dante. But I want to ask a couple more questions before we go. And one of the main ones is, obviously, you guys just started All World Ball, like Academy, coming together within the last 6 months to a year, right? Okay. How's it going? You guys coming together, like, what you guys obviously wanted to kind of mix your personalities, your different styles of coaching, your different styles of training. How's that going? And what's, like, your guys' main mission? I know we talked a little bit about it, like, going to college and the character, building up their character and, you know, preparing them for everything. What are you guys really trying to focus on this year, 2019? What are some of the goals that you guys have?
I'm not understanding. How's it going with us working together? Or,
well, yeah, or, how's the academy? How's the academy, like, coming together as a group, as co-owners in this team, like, working together, different personalities, all the different kids?
I'm the old guy in the group, so I just fall back and let these young people, you know, I'm the old dog over there. And, you know, we've already, like, I've been training 10 years also. So, you know, we have the kids are there, you know, it's just trying to improve. You know, we're still trying to just get better every day. We get along fine. That's, you know, we have a disagreement like brothers do, but we figure it out. And it's good that it's three of us, so we have a mediator. But no, everything is good. We just keep building. Like, basketball has taught us how to deal with these situations where, come on, at the end of the day, if you put the work in, our product is in the gym. If I can go and release, I'm still releasing stress and my passion in the gym. Yeah, you know, showing a kid a move or you know, like I said, because I want them to be better than me. As far as us getting along, that's not even.
That comes with it.
Yeah, like it's,
of course.
That team thing, that like learning to be on a team early on in life and stuff like that. Like you said, it prepares you for any situation. Now we get to be on a team and we all love to do the same thing that we're doing and we get to do it how we want. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Never feel like a day of actual work. No. It's just like, all right, how many kids we got today? All right, bet. Let's go in here and buy this session. And then we go in and do it. If it's all three of us together, if it's one of us in there, if it's two of us, again, we're professional basketball teachers, not players.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
How could somebody complain about being able to instruct the game you love? Like, yeah. I'm teaching it.
Yeah, you love what you do.
You're still doing what you love.
Of course.
Think about when I started second grade or whatever. This is over 30, 35 years of just basketball. You know, when I think about it, it's basketball and music. It's like I'm riding to the game with my headphones on. So now I'm in the gym and the music is playing, but it's basketball and music. That is my whole life.
Wow.
That's it, you know.
Like, we're not getting ready for the game. We're giving it now.
Yeah.
Like, so, and like you said, the music and basketball thing, like those, just follows you for the rest of your life.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Love it. Then you, let's go. I want to hear.
I just say, you always like to work with people that don't have an ego. Mm. And I think that's what makes us successful. We're three trainers that are humble, we know our success, and we just go out there and work. And I feel like a lot of trainers have egos, like, I'm the best trainer. Like, we don't want to be the best trainer. We want to be the best mentor to these kids. And, you know, just seeing it, being able to partner up with Dre and, you know, Kev, making that transition was huge for us because we all want the same.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we don't got to battle each other, because like some of these trainers, you can't be like, hey, Dre, he's doing that footwork wrong. They'd be like, nah, I know how to do this. Versus, okay, well, come help me. Come show me. Or, hey, what do you see about this? We're always asking for advice. Because if you have three teachers in one gym, that's three different people that's going to help you. Right? Imagine you using one classroom, you have three teachers helping you. You guarantee you know the resources. You guarantee you know the working material.
Yeah.
Versus one, because one may not be what you want. Or you're not really, I don't know if I really like him. Because we always want to judge first. So it's like we all buy into the same thing. And I feel like that's what works. No egos. And we have fun. I mean, we bump heads, but we're all competitive.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, like Dre can't guard me.
Nah.
Dre beat me on the team. So we're going to keep fighting over that. But it's all competitive.
Yeah.
We all want to win as far as playing. Mm-hmm. But we all want to win for the kids too.
Yeah.
And I tell a lot of these parents, I don't do it for the money. Because the money is irrelevant, but I do it for their success.
Mm-hmm.
If they're successful, another kid going to college, another kid out of the streets, you know, you can save a life.
Yeah.
You know, each one teach one.
Love it. When multiple people come together for a common purpose, nothing's impossible. That's one of the great things I love. So, real quick, what are you guys most excited for in 2019 with All World Ball Academy? What are you guys looking forward to the most?
Building?
And building the organization?
Expansion, yeah. Mm. If it's, you know, literally, like, building, like, growing into a new building, all that kind of stuff, or just building within ourselves, becoming better trainers, better teachers, better men, so then we can be a good example for whoever's coming in, young lady, young man, whatever. They see us, how we handle, how we carry ourselves, and then we can back it up. Oh, you don't believe me? Okay, check it up. Let's play. Mm. And then I'm going to, you know, beat you one-on-one. And now I'll see, okay, are you ready to listen now? So, yeah. But no, just building and just growing, honestly.
Good. You got anything you're looking forward to?
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Same thing. Just building.
Okay.
Just building and growing. Basketball is always evolving, and that's what I want to do. You know, it's like, that's a stupid class. I'm like, no, because I can learn something from each of them, you know, a different point of view, how you see this play or different footwork. So just continue to grow, get better, and, you know, let our product be seen. You know, I got a lot of my kids are signing scholarships now and are already playing in college. And so that's another, it's a good feeling to see the fruition and these, the maturation of their games, you know. And one kid's at Long Beach State. I got kids at prep schools. I got kid playing in Idaho. So it's like mission accomplished with, you know, yeah, signing a scholarship. So just continue to grow and get better.
That's great. Good. Building. Wow, you guys all have the same answer. That's what we call synergy. Yeah. I like that. Okay, cool. So last but not least, where can these people find you? Where can they find All World Ball Academy?
We are at 11327 Folsom Boulevard, Suite 160. Is this within Sky High Sports?
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Or you can find us.
You can find us on Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. At
All World Ball, The Real Coach Kev, and Miller Vision Training.
Talk.
Ooh.
Hey, your boy, I got a number one song coming out. I'm going platinum.
Platinum. Let's hear it.
It's over there.
Okay, guys. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you
we'll
for
see you guys
us.
On
thank
the you. Next Thank episode. You.